And it's Tuesday, the day we read from your emails and blog comments. Last week, our show on a new report suggesting transracial adoptions aren't always good for minority kids caused a lot of blog chatter and filled our inbox, mostly with the stories of adoptive parents. On the blog, Brian wrote, "My family's been facing this problem for the last 19 years. We have two adopted biracial children. Our son and daughter have had to put up with a lot of racist behavior, very often from parents. From the white side, they or I have heard, 'You've done well, all things considered.' Both have been accused of being too white or not black enough, often simply because they tell their friends they should not judge people based on color. I'm sorry if some feel we've done a bad job in raising our kids, but I resent someone who has not been there and has an obvious preconceived mindset telling me that we should have done something different. Our kids are self-assured, self-reliant, and proud of themselves and their background, and we are proud of them. Raising a kid is hard work, no matter what color you are." Margaret, who did not adopt transracially, had another take. "My husband and I adopted our daughter when she was 13 years old. Adopted children often have difficulty bonding with their adopted parents, and these issues can be particularly acute during adolescence. Even now, at age 32, our daughter is acutely aware of every difference between us and her and her birth parents. We have come to appreciate how the thin strand of our common cultural and racial backgrounds may have helped to sustain her connection to us over the last rocky 19 years. Randy wrote on our blog to say that parenting a child of a different race is a different experience. If folks would listen to the voices of adult adoptees who have been deeply wounded by having their racial identities marginalized or destroyed by well-meaning but colorblind adoptive parents, we would understand how important the position of the study is. It's simply arguing in favor of better preparation of prospective transracial adoptive parents. Adoptive children deserve the right to be raised by parents who understand the importance of their racial identity and are equipped to do a responsible, good job rearing their kids. This is not about political correctness. It's about the very identities and health of the vulnerable children in question. As a transracial adoptive mom, I understand how critically important it is for me to create an extended family and life that can support my daughter's racial identity development. No matter how culturally competent I become, I cannot do that alone. Parenting transracially does take more than love." And then there was that pesky Sex in the City segment, John Cass's column on getting out of seeing Sex in the City, plus printable excuse card, 80 blog comments, and countless emails later, we've picked an assortment of them to read to you, the ones that we can read on the air. From Stephanie, "As a considerate wife, if I did like movies like this one, which I don't, incidentally, I would never force my husband to watch it with me. If there's something I want to see and he doesn't, I'm happy to set him free to drink a fat tire while watching Spike TV to his heart's delight." From Heather, "I want one of those cards, and I'm a woman." From Glenn, "Hey, I'm a guy, and I teared up a little during a crucial scene in Iron Man, so who needs Sex in the City?" And from John, "I may be morally obligated to take my wife. You see, I took her to Conan the Barbarian on our first date." Whether you enjoyed our tongue-in-cheek segment or not, we always appreciate the time you take to review, reconsider, or even revile our program, so much so that we're giving you homework, an email challenge. We note today the passing of Frederick J. Bauer of Cincinnati. He died last month and opted to have a portion of his ashes buried in the iconic item he designed, the Pringles potato chip can. So we want to know, what would you like to be buried in or with? In your tuxedo? In your 64 Mustang? The email address is talk@npr.org. Feel free to write us on other topics, too. Please tell us where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name. And if you'd like to talk about your choice of alternate urn or creative coffin, give us your phone number, too. The email address, again, is talk@npr.org.